We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Steven TPFL. It's Wednesday. It's May 25th. It is 2022. We have seven baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. DraftKings doing a five-game slate that starts at 7:05 Eastern. FanDuel doing a seven-game slate that starts at 6:40. So we're going to talk about the two 6:40 games too, because I think there's a turbo slate on DraftKings as well. So we're just going to break them all down. Joined today by Keith Eister, Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not much, man. Got a good night of some K-props going. I noticed you wrote up a couple of props that I really liked today. So I had both of the ones you wrote up in your article. I've started 3-0 here. George Kirby's come out firing strikeouts like crazy. He's got four through an inning and two-thirds as we're recording this. So I just need Burns to go over, I think, and it's going to be a clean sweep for the article, so I'm feeling good tonight.
And tell people where they can find that. I know you're doing it's Scores and Odds, right?
Yep, it's over on Scores and Odds. It's in the news section, so if you drop down the little, I can try to figure out exactly what it's called here real quick on the fly. If you drop down the more section or the more drop down menu, there's a news tab. If you click on the news tab there, you can find a bunch of articles there. So I'm writing one 4 days a week. Tim is writing one several days a week. Nick is doing some stuff. There's a lot of people writing some good stuff over there, and all of that content is free. So definitely make sure you're checking that out over on Scores and Odds.
Yeah, and right now you can get a free 3-day trial. Going, download the app, check it out for yourself. Scores and Odds on I know it's on the App Store on Apple. I'm guessing it's on Android as well, but there's a 3-day trial that you can check out. So take advantage of that. Yeah, I wrote up Sonny Gray over 5.5 strikeouts, Minnesota -1.5, and I wrote up Kirby over 4.5 strikeouts. So we'll see. Minnesota did not score as much as I was kind of hoping for. Sonny Gray, and I said in the Sonny Gray write-up, I said stagger his strikeouts up to 8. if you did that, like they just didn't, when I was writing up my bets for today, they just didn't have that available yet. It was too early in the morning. So, hey, if you did that, it worked out.
Yeah, he finished with 10. So that was a very good call there, sir.
Yeah. I mean, the matchup couldn't have been better. I wrote him up in the expert survey today as top overall play. I talked to him about him a lot yesterday. We'll see how Kirby ends up. I said yesterday on the podcast that he was my favorite point per dollar pitcher on the slate. So we'll see. Probably not going to beat Sonny Gray. But hey, still hoping for a good start. I have a good team going too. I had a good team yesterday. Running really good at baseball right now. So making up for those NASCAR All-Star losses that I should have had and didn't have because they threw a caution when Blaney was 50 feet away. All right, I'm done tilting that. Let's talk some baseball here. Again, we're going to talk the 7-game slate on FanDuel. We'll switch over to DraftKings as well, but we're going to talk the 7 games here. So we're getting started with Miami at Tampa Bay. This game has a 7.5 total. The Rays, a 165 favorite here. Drew Rasmussen against Cody Poteet. Any interest in Cody Poteet in this one?
No. I think there's a couple of cheap pitchers I like a lot better. Not much upside with the strikeouts. There are some strikeouts in the Tampa Bay lineup, but I think there are better places to go. He is super cheap at 6,100 here on FanDuel, but not a guy that's probably going to get you 6 innings. So probably not going to get you that quality start, and just not a ton of upside here. So I don't think you need to go down here on FanDuel.
Yeah. I mean, one pitcher site and there's 3 or 4 legit guys you can choose on FanDuel today. And I mean, the other one of those options I feel like is Rasmussen on the other side of this game. He is someone that has a good strikeout rate. They let him pitch usually into the 5th inning at least. And if he's pitching good, they let him, you know, attack or go into the 6th inning. It's just whether or not he can get through the 6th inning or not. But good strikeout stuff. I don't think he's the highest ceiling pitcher on this slate, but pitching's kind of weak on this slate as well. So on a one pitcher site, Drew Rasmussen, 8,600. I think he's super playable here going up against this Miami team that has a lot of strikeouts in it.
Yeah, I don't mind it. He is expensive, but it is a great ballpark to pitch in, and there's a lot of strikeouts in that Miami lineup. So because of the matchup and his home park here, I think he's in play. But I agree, there's probably a little bit more upside on the slate elsewhere, but I think he's fine for large field tournaments.
One of the reasons that I like Rasmussen here, Jazz Chisholm, he's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring injury. So there's a potential that he's not in this lineup. If he's not in this lineup, I really just don't have a ton of interest or any interest at all in this Miami lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Rasmussen doesn't go super deep, but he's really talented. And the Tampa bullpen is really good as well. So no real interest in the Miami bats. Mentioned the ballpark too, just a tough place to hit. So I'd probably be out on Miami.
Yeah, it's just not typically a spot that I'm going to attack. And then the Tampa side here, it's a small slate. Poteet is someone that has good strikeout stuff. He's more of a ground ball guy. There's not many like big fly ball hitters in this Tampa lineup. So with this game being in Tampa, with the pricing, that's the interesting point, right? Like Wander Franco is 3,200. He's very playable on FanDuel at 3,200. A Rosarina is 3,100. Like, all right, I could definitely get those two guys. If I'm doing like a 4-2-2 or something like on FanDuel, I like that stack. I always like a 4-2-2 or a 4-3-1 on FanDuel. I like a 4-4 as well. It's just not always going to work out, but I don't mind a couple Tampa bats, but they're not my favorite stack.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page. The other guy I will throw out there is Harold Ramirez, has actually been really good for Tampa. He usually hits in the middle of that lineup, usually in the 3-hole. So if he's in that 3-hole again, he's 2,400. So I wouldn't mind making it a little 3-man, adding him.
Yep. All right. We got Chicago Cubs, Cincinnati Reds up next in this one. This game has an 8.5 total. The Reds a slight favorite here at -125. Kyle Hendricks, Luis Castillo. Any interest in Kyle Hendricks in this spot?
I don't think so. Just not a good ballpark for Hendricks. going to give up some fly balls. Great American small park here. I know the Reds aren't the most talented offense. Hendricks just doesn't have a ton of strikeout stuff, and I feel like he's going to give up a couple home runs in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, Great American small park. It's just overall a ballpark I don't like to play pitchers in. And Hendricks has a 16% K rate on the season. He's really struggled with lefties. Naquin, Votto, Moustakas, Moran, while they do strike out some of those guys, I mean, there's plenty of power in this lineup with these lefties. So it worries me about Hendricks in this spot. And then Luis Castillo on the other side. I mean, his splits are just insane this year. He's been absolutely awful against lefties and absolutely dominant against righties. And it's crazy because, I mean, he faced Toronto last time out. And like, all right, that you got to have some respect for the righties that he's getting out in that Toronto lineup. So I'm on the fence on Castillo. The problem is they could get four lefties in this lineup, maybe even five. And there's so many walks at the top of the Cubs lineup. They're very, very patient offense. I mean, they don't have a ton of power, but they're a patient offense. What are you doing with Castillo here?
He's really cheap. I don't love the spot, but I think he's in play just because of that price tag. Like the Cubs, they walk a lot. They'll strike out quite a bit as well. So I think that there's some upside here, especially at the price tag here for Castillo. Tough ballpark. You mentioned the patience of the Cubs lineup. If he gets wild, which he tends to do from time to time, it might be a short outing for him. But I'll probably take some shots here just because of the price tag.
Yeah, the price is nice. Cubs bats. And like Contreras is dealing with a little bit of a hamstring injury right now that could potentially, I mean, it's a catch 22 because he does offer strikeouts, but he's one of the power bats in this lineup. Cubs bats, anything like jumping off the page to you here?
Ian Happ, I like a lot. You mentioned Castillo struggles against lefties. Happ has hit the ball really well in Cincinnati. He went to school at Cincinnati. So just kind of like a homecoming for him. Really like Happ in the spot. He was really the only one. I play him as a one-off. I don't really see myself getting to a full stack. Maybe add like an Ortega who's cheap, a Rivas if he grabs a start. Both of those guys are super cheap. But I would be looking for lefties first with Happ being the priority.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they don't have Rivas in there. And the position eligibility on FanDuel, like you could play two first basemen. So him being 2,400. The other first baseman in this game on the other side, I mean, Joey Votto is 2,400. And Votto is someone that looked terrible to start the season, got put on the COVID list, came back, and he's been hitting the ball well since returning. Couple doubles, home run. The strikeouts have been a lot better. So, I mean, I love Votto in this spot. 2,400 against Hendricks in this ballpark. Him, I mean, Moustakas is cheap. Naquin's cheap. I mean, this is definitely a four-man stack that I'm looking at here going up against Hendricks.
Yeah, I mean, I just think this is a really bad fit for Hendricks, this ballpark. The Reds not usually a team that we like to play with their kind of depleted offense compared to what they have been, but I do like this spot for them. Great park to hit in. Not scared of Hendricks in this spot.
All right. We move on. Now we're getting into the games that are also on DraftKings. So we're not just, you know, talking about like one pitcher sites anymore. Now we're talking two pitcher sites and just kind of want to throw that out there. So we got Baltimore at New York. It's an 8.5 total. The Yankees a -200 favorite here. We have Tyler Wells going up against JP Sears. Any interest here in Tyler Wells?
So that's a really short slate. I think every pitcher is playable on this slate, but Wells is definitely near the bottom of the list. He's not a guy that's going to go deep. Just the strikeout stuff that he was flashing in the bullpen hasn't exactly translated to the rotation. Tough spot against a powerful Yankees team in Yankee Stadium. I'll probably not have any of Wells.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough for really any pitcher to face the Yankees. My thing is just overall, this Yankees lineup has strikeouts in it, but Tyler Wells is not a big K guy. And like his strikeouts are higher to lefties. I mean, like Rizzo's just an overall good hitter. So I'm not going to give the matchup to the pitcher in that spot. And then you got Judge, you got Stanton, you got Torres. Like where he's been struggling is like right-handed power bats. I mean, there's so much right-handed power in this lineup that it's really hard for me to get behind playing Wells in this spot. And then Sears on the other side of this game. I mean, this just screams bullpen. I don't know. I know he started the season in the bullpen for the Yankees. He got sent down.
They did send him down to stretch him out. I pulled up his minor league game log. He's been at 4 2/3 his last outing, 5 2/3 the outing before that. So he is pretty stretched out here, actually.
All right. I mean, good strikeout stuff in the minors.
Yeah, you
know, last year, this year. Baltimore is one of the worst teams in baseball against left-handed pitching. He's 5,500. I mean, on a slate with very limited pitching options on a two-pitcher site, I mean, I think he's definitely going to be someone that's going to have ownership, and he's definitely in the mix today.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about 21 AAA innings this year, but the dude has a 38% strikeout rate and a walk rate under 3%. He's got a matchup against Baltimore. I have a ton of interest here. I don't know how deep he's going to go in this game, but he doesn't need to go very deep at 5,500. Even if it's only three innings and he gets 4 or 5 Ks in those three innings, it's a short slate. I'm pretty interested on DraftKings here where you play two pitchers.
Yeah, I think like I didn't have a ton of interest. I didn't look up his minor league. I know he got sent down to get stretched out. I didn't look up like fully. What do we think? 80 pitches here?
I think that sounds about right. Like I imagine he was in that range in the minors. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be able to go that. Maybe New York has a long guy in the bullpen that they would piggyback off of him. So it might be a little bit shorter of a leash, but yeah, I think he's good for 80 pitches.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at this slate in general, it's just so hard to be like, you can't have interest in him.
Yeah. I mean, just, he has more upside than a lot of the guys priced above him.
I think he has to be in play today. I mean, I'm not playing Glenn Otto. Likely not playing Rich Hill. I mean, he's someone that I think we'll have a conversation about. Cal Quantrill against Houston, Ranger Suarez against Atlanta. Like Dietmer's, we talked about him regressing after his no hitter, and he is facing that same Texas team, and he struggled big time in that game. I mean, there's only a certain amount of pitchers on the slate, so I think, you know, just taking a shot here on JP Sears and just being like, all right, well, he's 5,500, he's facing Baltimore. But I also like Keith, the more I think about it, the more he's just going to be massive, massive chalk. I would be shocked if he's not 30 to 40% projected ownership. And he probably comes in around that in most tournaments here. I mean, Baltimore stinks and he's 5,500 on a pitching slate where there's not a ton of options. So, I mean, game theory wise, you could definitely be underweight on him.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know exactly where the ownership comes in, but that's not a bad point. Like if he's going to be 30 or 40% owned, we don't really know what the leash is going to look like. Maybe he comes out and throws two innings, 40 pitches, and he's done. So he's definitely fadeable if he's going to be picking up a ton of ownership.
All right. Bats in this game. Anything here on the Baltimore side?
I think they're all in play because they're super cheap. Mullins would be lefty-lefty at 4,100. But I like a lot of the other guys, like Austin Hayes and Anthony Santander, both in play in the low 3Ks. Rutschman's price has come up a little bit, but still don't mind him at 3,900. He's more talented than that price tag. Mountcastle is only 2,400. Tyler Nevin is 2,300. So they're super cheap. Sears, I think, is a good pitcher. He's got huge strikeout stuff, obviously, but I don't think he's made a major league start before. Like you said, he's pitched mostly out of the bullpen. So this is a very high variance spot, and I'd be willing to play some Baltimore here on a short slate.
Yeah, so I'm like a three entry max guy. I talk about it all the time. This would be one of those spots that like I play Sears on two and stack against him on the other one. Because I could see it going either way. The only problem, I mean, I guess like the Yankees bullpen hasn't been as good. Chapman's been really struggling this start of the season. So, I mean, it's not like, I mean, they're still okay.
They actually put Chapman on the IL, I believe.
There you go. Yeah, I was going to say their bullpen overall is still good. It's just struggled a little bit more this year, and it has a lot to do with Chapman. So if he's on the IL, it probably helps the Yankees. It's so hard to stack against them. And then on the Yankees side, the bats, what I was going to talk about with Wells was Stanton left the game on Tuesday night, and LeMahieu was scratched out of the lineup again. I still don't know if I could play Wells in this spot, but if this lineup comes out, no Stanton, no LeMahieu, we know Donaldson's on the COVID list, we know Gallo's out. All I'm saying is Wells could potentially be a pivot off of Sears, because I'm not playing any of these other guys. I'm not playing Otto. I'm not playing Hill. I'm not playing Quantrill. I'm not playing Suarez. I'm not playing Dietmers. You could potentially make an argument for Rich Hill, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I mean, if this lineup comes out really, really bad, where you're just really just trying to get around Judge and Rizzo, you can make an argument for Wells, I think. But I mean, you can also make an argument for stacking the Yankees in this spot, because Tyler Wells is someone that is hittable.
Yeah, for sure. I have a lot of interest in the Yankees. I think this is a great spot for them. If the lineup is a little bit watered down, maybe I have to think twice about that. But Judge, I'm definitely going to have interest in Rizzo and Stanton as well, assuming Stanton's all right. But yeah, I think it's a good spot. I don't buy the Baltimore bullpen as being very good, and it's Yankee Stadium, the short porch, pretty easy to get the ball out. So yeah, I'll be playing a ton of Yankees here.
Andujara, back up with the big club too, 2400.
Love that. Yep.
Super cheap. So, and he's someone that has shown plenty of power in the past. So definitely could get behind playing him as well. Yeah, I mean, the Yankees lineup, if it's watered down, just becomes a cheaper stack against a pitcher that's hittable. Whether you use it as a full stack or a secondary stack, or you do a 4-4 on DraftKings or FanDuel today. You know, we talk about 4-4s on FanDuel all the time. I mean, 4-4s on DraftKings works all the time too. So Philadelphia at Atlanta. And I mean, 4-3-1s work too. Anyway, Suarez against Morton in this one. 8.5 total. Braves, a 145 favorite. I mean, Ranger Suarez is talented. Let's give him that. I mean, he is talented. Rough around the edges, I feel like, is the best way to talk about Ranger Suarez. On the season, 19% K rate, 8% walk rate. Atlanta, while they've struggled against righties, they're one of the top teams in baseballs against lefties. They strike out still, but I mean, they just have a ton of power against left-handed pitching. What are we doing here, Ranger Suarez?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in play just because of the slate and that strikeout rate of the Braves that you mentioned. They've actually struck out at the highest rate in baseball, which is surprising, obviously. But I think he's in play here just because of that strikeout potential. I think he's more talented than the 19% strikeout rate that he's shown to this point. I don't know exactly what it was offhand last year, but it was up in the 20s last year. He's had a little bit of a shaky start to the year. But I think he's a more talented pitcher than what he has pitched to this year. So I have some interest here just because of the short slate, not a ton of upside with this pitching. I think he's in play here against the high strikeout Atlanta lineup.
I think he has to be an option today. It's one of those other spots where, I mean, you can easily stack Atlanta in the spot as well. But I mean, you can say that about just about any pitcher today. I mean, even Giolito, who we're going to talk about, who's probably the top pitcher in the slate going up against the Red Sox, like, you can make an argument on this slate to sack against him. So pitching's pretty weak here. Charlie Morton on the other side of this game, Trevor Moore's been fantastic against righties, not striking them out, but he's been pitching really well against them this year. 81 ISO. Lefties is where he struggled. I mean, you're obviously super worried about Harper and Schwarber, but again, pitching is very limited. This is another one of the spots where I think you could play him and you can stack against him. Not on the same team, but I mean, you could go both ways in this game.
Yeah, I like Charlie Morton in this spot. Really tough start to the year for him. His control was all over the place. His walk rate is still over 10% for the year. Just went through a stretch of five or six starts there where he was walking three and four batters a game. But in his last two, he's kind of figured that out. He's only got one walk in each of his last two starts. So I think we're starting to see him revert kind of to the Charlie Morton of last year, who was well above average pitcher. Difficult matchup here against Philly, but he has had strikeout stuff in the past. He had nine strikeouts two starts ago, so I think it's still in there somewhere. I think he's in play for tournaments. If you're going to – Giolito's obviously going to be the top option, but I think you can pay up twice, especially if you're willing to play a team like Baltimore, who has some really, really affordable options to fit two 9K pitchers in there.
Yeah, again, like this is a spot – where, I mean, you can play Morton, but looking at the Philly bats, I mean, Harper and Schwarber, like Schwarber's 4,200. And Charlie Morton hasn't been able to get left-handed hitters out that he's not struck out. So, I mean, there's a chance that like Schwarber could strike out in this spot. You know, I mean, if there was a prop for Schwarber striking out, I'd probably take the over on a half a strikeout because he strikes out, it feels like, every game. But, I mean, this is definitely a spot that he could take. Morton yard, definitely like Harper. Probably lean more towards like a mini stack here than a full stack because I do respect Charlie Morton's talent, but he has been struggling a little bit with walks, so I could definitely see mini stack in this spot.
Yeah, I'm probably just looking for a home run here. It'd be Harper and Schwarber, the two bats I'm looking at. If he's got that control figured out, Morton's a tough pitcher to pick on. And he's looked better in his last two starts to me. So I'll probably stay away from Philly in the spot.
Atlanta. We know like throughout the years that a lot of this lineup is just good against left-handed pitching, small slate, very stackable offense here. Contreras, Acuna, Ozuna, Albies, Riley, Duvall, Swanson. Like this is a full on stack you could look at today.
Yeah, and Duvall is down there at 2,800, has been really good against lefties in his career. Ozuna at 3,900. They help you fit in the Acunas and the Olsons. I think Atlanta makes a lot of sense here.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add to that one. Watch the weather. See what Roth has to say. There's potential weather in this game. Potential weather in this next game as well. We got Boston at Chicago taking on the White Sox. Red Sox, White Sox, 8 total. White Sox a 170 favorite. Rich Hill, Lucas Giolito. Potential weather in probably the best spot for a pitcher on this slate. But we're going to start with Rich Hill because that's what we do. Any interest here in Rich Hill?
I know the White Sox haven't been great this year. And over the last few years, they've been really good against left-handed pitching. Obviously they're without a couple big bats. I don't think I can play Rich Hill in the spot. Tough park in Fenway. The White Sox line up really well against lefties.
This is the flip-flop. They're in Chicago.
Oh, you're right. Yep. The last one. Okay. So that's a little bit of an upgrade. But I still don't want to play Hill in this spot against the White Sox.
Yeah. I mean, with Pollock being healthy, Moncada back. Moncada is a good upgrade. Vaughn in there. They have Engel that they can platoon against left-handed pitching. Hill probably not going to pitch deep into this game. You know, when he's off, they it seems like they yank him really, really fast. And, you know, that's obviously a huge downside. So, for me, probably not going to play him here. Yeah, probably not going to play him here. And then Giolito on the other side of this game, the Red Sox have been one of the worst teams in baseball offensively this season. I mean, Giolito is the highest ceiling by a large margin on this slate.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, there's no one even in his class today as far as ceiling. He could easily get rocked in this spot, but if you're just playing pure ceiling, he's in a league of his own.
Yeah, I agree. He is in a tier of his own. Like, I like Morton, and I'd put him, if I was going to put another guy in the top tier, that's who it would be. But I think Giolito is just a clear step ahead. And that's partly because of Morton's form this year. But Giolito's strikeouts have been over 30%, where Morton's been down in the low 20s. Maybe he ticks back up into like 25% range, where I think he'll settle this year. But Giolito would still be miles ahead of him from a strikeout upside perspective. So Boston strikes out a fair amount. Giolito is a super talented pitcher. He's going to be massive chalk on the slate, I think, but it's well-deserved. He's the top pitcher by a good margin.
Ceiling-wise, you just, like I said, he's in a league of his own today. I think the only guy that could potentially touch him on this slate is Javier. Maybe Morton if he's pitching like Charlie Morton back in the day. But, I mean, we've seen Morton have some good starts this year. So I think, like, ceiling-wise, those are your three guys today. JP Sears value. But, yeah, I mean, pitching on this slate is kind of rough. Any interest in the Boston bats here?
No. I think Giolito is the best pitcher on the slate. I don't see any need to attack it, even on a small slate. I think there are a lot more options. I mean, they'd be the last option for me, so I won't have any Boston.
It's one of those weird slates where you could probably put any hitter from any team today, and I wouldn't be like, oh, that's crazy. Because, I mean, you get leverage playing the Red Sox against Giolito, and Giolito has someone that just has given up a ton of fly balls and a hard contact and a lot of power to righties. And you got JD, you got Xander, you got Story. Strikeouts are very plentiful there. I'm probably not playing the Red Sox here, but I wouldn't call you crazy. Especially like with the ownership that Giolito is going to get on this slate. I wouldn't call you crazy. I mean, if you're playing on FanDuel, Rasmussen looks better and better as we're going through these games. I just want to say, like, if you're a FanDuel player, like, Rasmussen is probably the second best pitcher on the slate for me on FanDuel. And if you consider ownership for Giolito, Rasmussen, I mean, he looks good going up against Miami at this point. So just throwing that out there. As far as the White Sox bats go, I mean, Luis Robert's out he's on the COVID list. You know, obviously Tim Anderson, someone that I love against left-handed pitching. Moncada's 3,900. Vaughn is 3,900. When Rich Hill gets hit, he gets hit hard. So I definitely don't mind a mini or a full stack here for the White Sox.
Yeah, I like the full stack. I think they just line up really well against Hill. You mentioned Anderson at the top. He's the expensive guy, and he's worth it. But then they get pretty cheap from there. Abreu and Grandal, both in the 4Ks. Moncada at 3,900. I love Andrew Vaughn's price at 3,900. I'll definitely have full stacks of the White Sox here.
Oh, look at that. Nice little 3-0 day. Minnesota closed the deal. Got the over on both strikeout pitchers. There you go. Nice. I love it. Gotta love it. Yeah. It's like, I think it's the first time this year I've went 3-0. I've gone 2-1 almost every time I've wrote up three picks on a day. It's so crazy. I mean, going 2-1, I'm not going to complain. I'd much rather go 2-1 than 1-2 or 0-3, but it's just funny. Anyway, we got Cleveland at Houston. Quantrill against Javier. This game has an 8 total. The Astros are 185 to 195 favorite on most books here. Kyle Quantrill pitching for Cleveland in this game, going up against Houston. I have absolutely zero interest in this spot for him.
Same. He's just not a pitcher that strikes guys out normally, and Houston is a team that doesn't strike out at all either. So there's no upside for Quantrill here. I'd play Rich Hill ahead of Quantrill. Just no interest.
That is how I feel. I feel the same way. Javier, man, there's definitely an argument to be made for him on the slate. Just because of Giolito's ownership and just like with some cheap pitch, with some cheap hitters and stacks and potential secondary stacks and everything in cash games, if you're a cash game player, you're probably going Javier Giolito on this slate. But in tournaments, I love the idea, if you're playing Sears, to go Javier instead of Giolito to make your lineups different. Cause I mean, a lot of people I think today are going to go Sears Giolito. I hate playing pitchers against Cleveland. I mean, I hate it because they just don't strike out. They put the ball in play a ton. The bottom half, there's a lot of strikeouts there. So, I mean, if you're playing Javier today, one, you're hoping he's not walking people, cause that's something that he can do and he can do it a lot. And you're just hoping that he takes advantage of the strikeouts in the bottom half. You're hoping for like 5 to 7 strikeouts, 90 pitches, 5 to 6 innings. And I mean, the wind should be there. The wind should be there. The Houston bats should be able to hit Quantrill.
Yeah, it's the matchup for me that has me thinking Morton maybe has more upside. I mean, Javier has a higher strikeout rate this year. Don't get me wrong. It's pretty clear. He's a very talented pitcher, but that the matchup against Cleveland is difficult. A lot of high contact bats at the top of that order. I think because of the slate, it's certainly viable. I'll play some Javier. I feel better about Giolito, but the ownership is, like you said, going to reflect that as well. So he is the tournament pivot. I'm just a little bit concerned about the strikeout upside here because of the matchup.
Yeah. I mean, but on a 5-game slate, on a slate like this, you just have to be like, oh, I got to play somebody.
I think you said it though. A lot of people are going to play Javier and Giolito together. So yeah. I don't think Javier will be necessarily that low owned either.
I mean, he shouldn't be. I mean, there's clearly like 3 to 4 pitchers you can play on the slate that you can just stomach and play. I don't feel like if you're playing a pitcher on the slate, you feel good about anything. like this is probably a one lineup type of slate for me. Cause the more we go through this slate, the more I'm just like, man, I could see stacking that team. Ooh, I don't know if I like that pitcher. Cleveland bats, anything that you like here for Cleveland?
I mean, Jose Ramirez anytime. I don't necessarily like the full stack. Javier can have some control problems, so I might have a full stack or two in my 20 lineups. But I don't love it. It won't be one of the first teams I look to. I think I would rather do a mini with like Ramirez, Kwan, and Naylor type of thing. But I'll probably have one or two full stacks.
Houston side, I mean, they're a top stack on the slate for me. Just top to bottom, ton of upside in this matchup against Cal Quantrill. He's someone that I think you can stack against. His strikeout rate is almost the same as his walk rate, especially against lefties. The one thing that Quantrill does do well is limit power. But with the walks and this offense, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's a two-pitch pony. There's sinker cutter, really. He doesn't really mix in a lot of off-seed stuff outside of those two pitches.
Yeah, Houston's great in this spot. Alvarez and Tucker would be the top two for me. Bregman, absolutely there. Brantley is underpriced. Even Gurriel is 3,900. I don't mind that. One of the top offenses there. I've got the Yankees up there with them, but I do like Houston a ton in this spot.
All right, we finish it out with Texas at LA taking on the Angels. This game has 8.5 total. The Angels are a 160 favorite. It's Glenn Otto going up against Reed Dietmeyer's. I mean, I can tell you with full uncertainty that I don't want to play Glenn Otto today.
Yeah, the Angels have been really good. Otto has walked far too many guys. I think he's going to get himself into some trouble, and this is going to be a tough outing for him. So I agree with you. He's cheap. Pitching isn't strong on the slate, but he's one of the worst options for me.
I mean, when you have a massive walk rate with a massive hard hit rate, and your XFIP and Sierra suggests that you're not getting unlucky, like, yeah, I mean, the Angels are another stack that you have to like on the slate. And Dietmer's on the other side. I mean, he had the no-hitter. Yeah, you know, that's something that he'll always have, and he is a talented prospect, but I mean, struggled against Texas last time out, talked about him having some regression. Does he get ownership today because he's facing Texas and because he has a no hitter and because he is a prospect? That's where I might potentially get some leverage on the field, because I really don't want to play him today. Do you have interest in him?
I wish I felt better about the leash. I was on the pod with you last time, right after the no hitter, and he was making his next start. And we talked about how we were concerned about that leash, and 61 pitches is where they pulled him at. So we nailed that. I think he's probably back into that 80 pitch range. I don't know if that's enough, even on the slate though. Texas just doesn't strike out much against lefties. And he has not translated his big strikeout stuff from the minors into his big league starts yet. So I'll probably just take a wait and see, figure out where the leash is going to settle on him this year. I think that no hitter and him throwing 108 pitches, it's really going to have an effect for two or three starts here. So I'll probably pass on Devers today. Excited to play him in the future. I think he's going to be really good, but I think they're still going to handle him with care after that no hitter. And just some other options I would rather look to. It's not like he's cheap either. If he was in like the 7Ks, maybe more interest, but up at 8,400, I would need, I don't know, six or seven strikeouts out of him. And I'm not sure he can get that with the leash he's going to have.
I mean, even like his no hitter game against Tampa, he had two strikeouts. He's had five strikeouts one time this season. It was against Texas, scored two fantasy points in that outing. I mean, this is a guy that, he's a prospect, but the strikeout stuff really isn't there. Like the game that he threw a no hitter, 21 outs were ground balls and fly balls. It wasn't like a dominating no hitter performance. He just ran really good. Texas bats in this spot. Obviously I like Garcia. He's 4K. Simeon at 3,900, I think is playable. If Garver's in there, he's cheap at 3,300. I mean, Eli White is 3K. Texas is cheap in this spot.
Yeah, I think Garver is going to be massive chalk. Just a guy who's hit lefty as well in his career, and he's probably $1,000 cheaper than he should be because he missed some time with an injury. So, love Garver. I think he picks up quite a bit of ownership, though. Garcia is a guy I really like. So what is Simeon going to figure it out this year? I don't know. His price at 3,900 is. Like, we just have to keep playing him at this point, I think, right? Especially against the lefty. I like him.
Yeah. I mean, he's eventually going to hit, right?
Yeah, we keep saying that. We've been saying that for like 2 weeks now.
I know. It's crazy. I think the Angels are in a great spot today. If Ward is out, it hurts the overall ceiling of the lineup a little bit, but it also makes the stack a lot cheaper. It's hard for me not to have a ton of interest in Trout and Ohtani. They're two of the best hitters in baseball. They're in a fantastic spot. They're expensive, don't get me wrong. But this is a stack that this is your bring it on home for me tonight type of stack. You know, they're the last game by an hour and a half. People hate stacking that game. It's always that way. I mean, it's the Dodgers all the time, and the Dodgers should never be a team that's under 10%. And some of the matchups they are, but no one likes to stack that late game. I mean, people are like me, man. They're dads and they want to sleep. I'm perfectly good with at 10:30 when the lineup game starts, and I know I can't change anything. I can go sleep and see what I do in the morning. But Keith, talk to me here about the Angels.
Yeah, I love the Angels in this spot. And you know, Joe Maddon is going to wait until like right up like this. We may not have a lineup here before the slate locks just because that's what Joe Maddon does. He never puts out a lineup early. It's an hour, almost an hour and a half after the second to last game locks. So I think they're going to be under owned in this spot. I absolutely love them. Trout and Ohtani are obviously phenomenal. And then they have cheap options that they platoon and things like that. So the stack isn't even overall that expensive. Jared Walsh is really underpriced at 3,800. Brandon Marsh is a cheap option at 3,300. And then you get punts, like depending on the lineup, Ringifo, Wade, Duffy, all those guys are in the 2K range. So when you put those guys in a stack, it makes the expensive bats of Trout and Ohtani kind of evens out the stack of the price of the stack. So I love the Angels in the spot. Not scared of Otto. He's going to walk a ton of guys. Angels have big power. I was thinking the Yankees were my favorite stack, but after like talking through the slate, I like this Angels team quite a bit.
Houston, LA, Yankees. Yeah. I will be building around those three teams today. All right, let's play the morning grind game. This is going to be rough. give me a guy under 8K to get six or more strikeouts.
I'm going to go Suarez just because of the Braves' strikeout rates this year. I don't know if he'll be able to limit the damage enough to get there, but I think he has the ability to do that, even though he's had a bit of a down year.
I think he's the best option. I'll go JP Sears just because he's facing Baltimore. And he's had good strikeout stuff in the minors. So someone else that had good strikeout stuff in double A was George Kirby, and he has 8 strikeouts through 4 innings. That was such a hard sweat. Now I'm sweating it a little bit for DFS purposes because he is only like 25% owned and I do have him. So I need him to maybe have one or two more good innings. So my hot take in the expert survey today was Kirby was going to strike out 10 hitters. Two more, Kirby. Two more. Make me look smart. Over 8K to score under 15 fantasy points. Who's your bust today?
I'm going to go Detmers. He seems like the clear and obvious one. Just not doesn't have the strikeout upside. We're worried about the leash. I think he stays under.
I'm going to go Charlie Morton just because I think Javier and Giolito get there. So that's just why. I mean, I think there's a good chance that Charlie Morton gets over 15 here. His last three starts have been a lot better. I mean, it's not like he faced bad opponents to start the season. You know, he had one game against the Dodgers and the Mets. He had a game against them and they just don't strike out, but he's looked a lot better here recently. So I'll probably be wrong, but I mean, there's only 4 guys and you took the obvious one. So over 4K to hit a home run today. Who do you like to go yard?
Give me Otani.
All right. I'm not going to say Trout because that would be cheating. But give me Anthony Rizzo today for home run. Like under 4K to get 2 hits. Who do you like?
Give me Andrew Vaughn. He's 3,900 against the lefty, Rich Hill.
I like that one. I don't know. There's so many guys that I like today that are cheap. Give me Moncada going up against Rich Hill. He's a switch hitter, so it doesn't really matter who they bring in. I think he only has 1 multi-hit game this season, so we'll make it 2. Stack to score 6 or more runs today.
I'm going to stick with the Yankees here. They're the 2 other stacks we talked about I like just as much, but I'll go with the Yankees.
Yeah, I think I have to go Angels today. I have no faith whatsoever in Otto. His walk rate is almost as high as his strikeout rate, gives up a lot of hard contact, generates hardly any soft contact, and you get a patient offense. When you get a patient offense against a guy that walks a lot of people, you're going to get base runners. And, I mean, it just takes a couple big hits to really get over that 6-run total. So, really like this spot today for the Angels. Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Man, this 5-game DraftKings slate, I'll be curious on the ownership. Like, there's 3 offenses we love. There's 1 very clear pitcher. So we might have to do some weird things to get a little bit different, but be an interesting slate. I'll be excited to check out some ownership here.
All right, that's going to wrap it up here for today's morning grind. It's been fun. And I will say this, if you're not on the Roto Grinders Discord, get in there. There's no reason not to be in there. If you're in the Chiefs prop shop, I dropped a 2-pick power play over on Prize Picks this morning at like 8:45 in the morning. And I was so uberly confident about it. It was Sonny Gray over 5.5 and George Kirby over 4 strikeouts. So if you got in on that, you got a nice little 3X payday. That's always super nice. So if you're not in Discord, check it out. Rotogrinders.com/Discord is the easiest way to check it out. A bunch of free channels on top of, if you're a premium member, a ton of premium channels. So we'll be back tomorrow talking more baseball. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you then.